Our hearts and souls are filled. Come and we receive the power and direction to bring about the kingdom of God. As God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, enter into the sacred time and receive the answer to your prayer.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Youth Sunday. We want to especially welcome Reverend John Smith this morning from the Pulpit Exchange. Please take a moment to sign the red attendance pad inside the aisle. Today, following worship, the movie Before the Flood will be shown in the sanctuary. Everyone is invited to stay for the movie and a light lunch. There is a red bin in the fellowship hall labeled Stock the Schools. Each month they will be collecting for food items, supply items for Sauk Prairie School kids in need. For the month of January, they will be collecting granola bars, markers, folders, and glue sticks. Please place items in this bin if you're able to contribute. Audio reporters are ready and can be picked up for John and Bud. Please stand now if you're able to join in the singing, More Like You. The words are printed on the screen or can be found in the black handle 2167. Join us in singing Cry of My Heart, number 2165, in the Black Hymnal.
Join the fellowship of God's people, people who gather as faithful disciples of Christ.
We seek Christ who frees us from uncertainty and doubt.
Come, join the welcome of God's people, people who meet together for justice and peace.
We seek Christ who is trustworthy, the one who gives us what is good.
Come, join the celebration of God's people, people of the one who was and is and shall ever be.
We raise our voices in praise and honor to God and worship Christ, who is faithful.
Please join us in singing Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. The words are printed on the screen or can be found in the Black Hymnal number 2171.
Mm-hmm.
Please join me in prayer as printed on the screen. Lord of hope and peace, we come this day asking for your mercy. Grant us your pardon. We have come this day seeking peace in our daily lives. Grant us peace. Teach us how to be compassionate disciples for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes they don't. They'd be maybe 30 or 40 feet up in the air. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about a fellow by the name of the great Garibaldi. And he was a tightrope walker.
And now everybody can hear. Okay. Well, I'm not going to start from the beginning. But anyway, the great Garibaldi worked in the circus during the summer season, but then during the winter and the late fall, he didn't have any job. And so what he would do, he would go up to the Niagara Falls up in New York, just outside of Buffalo, New York. And what he'd do was to stretch a wire across Niagara Falls. And if any of you have ever been there or seen pictures, it's very, very dangerous. But he'd stretch this wire all the way across from one side of the falls to the other. And he'd get one of these long poles to balance himself. And he'd get up on that wire and he'd walk across. And of course, great crowds gathered to watch and they cheered. And he had some friends that would pass the hat. And people would put money in to watch this great feat by the great Garibaldi. Well, one day he decided to change things up a little bit. And what he did, he got a wheelbarrow, and he took the tire off the wheel, and he put 200 pounds of sand in that wheelbarrow. And instead of using the long pole to balance himself, he used the wheelbarrow. Well, it was very, very dangerous. And he got about halfway across, and it looked like he was going to slip and fall into the falls. But he righted himself, and he got all the way over to the other side, and the crowds were going crazy. They were cheering and yelling. Of course, his friends were going around the crowd, passing the hat, and everybody was putting money in. And it was a great show. And then he said, when he quieted the crowd down, he said, "How many of you think that I can wheel a person across?" And he dumped the sand out of the wheelbarrow, and he got it up on the line. He said, "How many of you think I can do that?" And everybody cheered and yelled. And there was one guy down in the front row who was really very loud. He said, "Sure you can. I know you can. Certainly you can." And the great Garibaldi said, "Come on, get in the wheelbarrow." And as the story goes, I understand you couldn't see that man for his dust. He thought the great Garibaldi could do it, and I think he probably believed in his mind that Garibaldi could wheel a person across. But when it came to actually getting into the wheelbarrow and letting the Garibaldi wheel him across, he ran away. You know, faith is something like that. We're church people, and we say, well, we believe in prayer, and we believe that God answers prayer, and God loves us, and God is always with us. But sometimes that's just talk. You see, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not only saying we believe certain things, but more importantly, it's actually getting into the wheelbarrow and trusting God, really putting our lives in God's care and in God's love. Let's have prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you are always with us. Help us to learn to trust you, to let go and get into the wheelbarrow, and let you be in charge of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, thanks for coming up.
Someone's crying, Lord, kumbaya. praying, Lord, kumbaya. Someone's praying, Lord, kumbaya. Oh, Lord, kumbaya.
Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as God taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.
And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs.
So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give them a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent.
For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night. Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, He will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
It's very good to be with you this morning, to be a part of this week of prayer for Christian unity, and to be exchanging pulpits across the area here this morning. My name is John Smith, and I'm the pastor down the street at the First Presbyterian Church. And as I was telling the children before they turned the mic on, I'm not quite sure where Doris is, but I know she's in one of our local churches also preaching this morning. So it's a great pleasure for me to be here with you this morning and be able to share. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to worship you. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know how many of you had a special person when you were growing up. I had one. She actually lived right next door to me on Morningside Road in Verona, New Jersey. Her name was Mrs. Shoof, and the Shoofs had six children. Four of them were either married or in the service, and Bob and David were both in high school. And so Mrs. Shoof had a great deal of time to pay attention to me, and I spent a great deal of my time over sitting in her kitchen. She always had cookies and milk and lemonade, and she was one of those people who was willing to answer all of those questions that a 9 and 10 year old boy had, and boy, did I give her a lot of questions. I remember one day my mother had told me at breakfast time that I needed to go over to the neighbor for lunch. This was back in the days when we went home for lunch at noontime. And so when it came lunchtime, I went up the street and I went in the back door of the Shoof's. I never knocked. And there was Mrs. Shoof at the sink, and she said, "Well, Johnny, surprise, good to have you here. What would you like to eat?" And I can't remember exactly what she fed me, but probably a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of milk and probably some cookies. And I went back to school. Well, when I got home that night, my mother was pretty upset. You see, I wasn't supposed to go to the Shoof's, which were on this side, but I was supposed to go to the Garibrands. That's just the kind of person Mrs. Shoof was. She was always open to me. I can remember in her kitchen, she had a shelf that went around. It was about a foot, foot and a half down from the ceiling, and she had all kinds of doodads on the shelf. And one of the particular things was a plaster Paris statue of a Cleveland Indian doll. He had that bat in his hand and that great big grin and the feather in his hat, and I'd get Mrs. Shoof to get that down from the shelf, and I'd play with it. It was one of the great joys in my life, and I really coveted that Cleveland Indian doll. In fact, I rehearsed in my mind what I could say to her to get her to give it to me. You know, the boys are in school now, and they don't play with things like that. And besides, if you gave it to me, you wouldn't have so many things to dust. Well, I didn't ask her. And I'd play with it. And then one day, I just blurted it out. I just said, "Mrs. Shoof, I'd really like to have that Cleveland Indian statue. Would you give it to me?" And she looked at me and she said, "Johnny, I thought you'd never ask." That afternoon, when I was leaving, clutching my little Cleveland Indian statue in my hot little hand, as I was going out the door, Mrs. Shoof looked me right in the eye and she said, "You know, Johnny, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. If you do ask, sometimes, the answer is yes."
After I graduated from high school, we moved from our home on Morningside Road. I was there several years ago. I was walking around the neighborhood, and I remembered a lot of warm things that I experienced with Mrs. Shoof. You know, she was right. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. Several weeks ago, I came down for breakfast on a Saturday morning, and my wife informed me that one of the shades in the girls' room wasn't working correctly. Apparently, the little thing at the end had gone bad, and of course, being Mr. Fix-It, I said, I'll take care of that, and I went upstairs, and I tried to, you know, that spring thing, it was a roller shade, and I tried to get it to catch, and it wouldn't catch. And I finally came down and I told my wife, I said, you know, honey, I'm just going to have to go and buy another one. She said, didn't you buy that just about 2-3 weeks ago at Sears? I said, yeah. Well, she said, why don't you go back and tell them what happened and ask them for a new shade? And I said, I don't want to go through all of that hassle. Well, finally, she convinced me to do that. And I went back. And guess what? I came home with a brand new shade that they'd given me. I'd ask. Mrs. Shoof is right. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. You know, this principle about asking really runs all the way through our basic human relationship between friends and between husbands and wives and parents and children and co-workers, folks here in the church. Not asking causes all kinds of difficulty. We get frustrated and angry. We feel hurt. We want something so badly from another person, probably not a Cleveland Indian statue, but we want attention or affection or help or understanding. But they seem so oblivious to our needs. And we say to ourselves, you know, if they really cared, if she really loved me, if he really thought I was important, he'd know what I wanted and he'd give it to me. And generally what happens is we get frustrated and angry and we lash out attacking the other person. And we never really get what we want. Or, and this is my favorite, we kind of suffer in silence. And people see us suffering in silence and they wonder what they've done to cause the problem. And we hope against hope they'll feel guilty enough and then maybe they'll respond to us in some way and we'll get what we want. But that doesn't really work either. A recent sociological study on shyness reports that being afraid to ask is one dimension which causes 40% of the adult population to stay in their protective shells, living lonely, unhappy, unfulfilled lives. Ms. Shoof was right. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. So why don't we ask? You know, if it's as simple as that, if it's simple as asking, why don't we ask? Well, maybe one of the reasons we're afraid to ask is that we think that asking will reveal our faults and our weaknesses. How many of you women here this morning have been driving along with maybe a friend or a husband, a male friend, and it's quite obvious that he's lost, he doesn't know where he's going, and he won't bother to stop and ask. You see, in our society, men are supposed to be strong. They're supposed to know where they're going, and they'll drive around for hours without stopping and asking for directions. I think another reason why we don't ask is a fear that we won't really be understood. A person wants affection or attention. And of course, what if the other person doesn't understand? Or maybe they misunderstand. And then, of course, there's that fear of rejection. How many of you teenage guys have wanted to ask a young lady out for a date, but she might say no? and so we don't ask. And probably the underlying reason is a lack of faith. A lack of faith in myself that my need, my want, my wish is really all that important. And a lack of faith in the other person that they could possibly ever fulfill it. No, we don't ask. And yes, the answer is always no. This morning in our gospel lesson from Luke, Jesus tells two parables. And they are both about this business of asking. In the first parable, a man goes to his neighbor at midnight to get some food. Apparently a friend has come by and he looked in the cupboard and there was nothing there. And so he goes to his next door neighbor and he begins to knock on the door. Well, no answer. And then he keeps knocking on the door, and finally the guy yells from inside, "Hey, go away, I'm in bed with my kids, go away." And the knocking continues, and finally Jesus says, the guy gets up and he gives him a couple of loaves of bread, not because he's his friend, but because of his persistence. If you look in the old King James Version of the Bible, it says, because of his importunity. I love that word. In other words, he kept asking and asking and asking, and finally the guy got up, not because he was a friend, but because of his persistence. Now, Jesus is talking about our relationship with God, and he concludes by saying, ask. And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Now the application of the second parable is different, but the principle of asking is exactly the same. There's this crooked judge. I know we don't have any in our society like that, but there's this crooked judge. And this woman has been decided against by this crooked judge. And this woman keeps coming back and back and back and asking for judgment. And finally this judge says, she's going to drive me crazy. I'm going to give her what I want. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher a century ago, used to say, whether we like it or not, asking is a rule of the kingdom of God. Well, you know, it's it's one thing for me to ask my wife for something, or ask my kids for something, or even my next door neighbor for something, but who am I to ask God for anything? After all, I'm just an inconsequential speck in the cosmos. Who am I to go to Almighty God and ask Almighty God to take care of my health problem? Who am I to interrupt God? He's got so many other things to do. Why would he be concerned about me? Isn't it being just a little audacious for me to ask God for something? Yet you know, this is exactly what Jesus is teaching in these parables. We can have this kind of relationship with God where we can ask and we can seek and we can knock. Asking is an absolute essential in our relationship with God. The point is not getting stuff from God. That's not the point at all. As if God was some kind of benevolent Santa Claus that would give us things if we asked the right way. The point of all this is our relationship with God. It means becoming vulnerable with God. It means letting God know what we're struggling with in our own personal lives. It's risking the fact that God may say, no, you don't need that right now. It's trusting God with our very lives. This is why asking is the rule of the kingdom. I think of all the spiritual disciplines, I think this one is perhaps the most important one of all. Asking. You all know this is a week of prayer for Christian unity. And I think all of us know that Christendom is in great disrepair. We don't get along with each other. Maybe on something like this we can exchange pulpits and things like that. But Christianity has declined precipitously. We need unity. We need to be in one with Christ. Not only as Methodists or Presbyterians, but with Orthodox and Catholics across the world. You see, the whole mission of Jesus Christ is suffering because we don't have this unity. We're more concerned with ourselves and what's happening in our own private little parishes. Do we have enough money? Do we have enough people? I don't think there's a prayer or a program that we can come up with that's going to bring this unity. We need to be praying. Not just this week, but constantly. Going back and back and back and asking and asking and asking. Mrs. Schuff was right. If we don't ask, the answer is always no. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I guess sometimes we just don't have enough faith to ask. We think it's not possible, and we've reasoned it out this way or that way. Father, help us to grow in our faith and to be constantly asking for unity in our life together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Having received the grace of God, we live strengthened in the faith, with hearts of overflowing with thankfulness from the depths of our hearts. We offer to God the very best we have. May our offering be true act of worship and thanksgiving.
Thank you.
join me in the prayer printed on the screen. Before you, O God, we offer our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We lay our gifts in before you.
We come now to a season of prayer. There is an announcement. Barbara Huttleberg is having surgery tomorrow, and I'd like you to be including her in our prayers this morning. Let us join together in prayer. It will take the form of a bidding prayer this morning. In other words, I'll make a suggestion, and then in silence, I'd like you to be praying for that particular suggestion, if you would please. Let us pray. Tender and compassionate God, you ask us to pray for other people. And here this morning we offer our prayers for our world in need, trusting in your great love. Let us pray now for the church. Gracious God, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. As broken bread, though once scattered as grain on the hillsides, became one loaf, so may your church be one in spirit throughout the earth, one in its witness to your saving love through Jesus Christ. Let us pray for the leaders of the church. Gracious God, lead our leaders. Grant them wisdom that by their acts they may encourage the faithful and witness to the world and its people. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us pray for those who rule. Eternal One, ruler of the universe, we pray for those who govern every land and for all of the people committed to their charge. Look with grace upon our President Donald Trump and the legislators who guide our lives. Turn the hearts of our leaders and people to you, that governments may seek the good of humanity. And for all of those who suffer through Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us now pray for the homeless and the hungry and the victims of war and disaster. God, you suffer with those who suffer. We pray to you for those who are denied what they need to live and those whose dreams have been shattered by war and disaster. We pray especially for Barb this morning as she goes into surgery. Reach out and bring healing through the hands of your faithful people. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us pray for the sick and the grieving. Holy Comforter, Healing Spirit, grant to you your peace to those who are sick and those who are grieving this day. Radiate through their lives with the light of your presence, that renewed in strength and health they may be yours through Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us pray for our families and our friends. O God, in whom every family in heaven and earth has received its name, we commend to your unfailing love all who are dear to us, that they may know you as friend in joy and sorrow. Through Jesus Christ we pray. And let us now pray for our enemies. O God, we pray to you for those whose actions offend us and for those whom we have learned to fear and despise. Now, through your great love, make tender all hearts hardened by hatred and suspicion and fear. Work your justice among us through Jesus Christ, we pray. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. God of hope and new life, help us to see the joy and the abundant life that you intend for us. Grant us your peace, peace which is not the absence of trouble and discord, but an awareness of your guiding presence in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when praying to say together, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our offense, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
As you go, know that you leave with the unfailing love of God. As you leave this place, know that by God's strength, you'll be able to face the challenges of the coming week. As you return to your daily lives, know that your pursuit of peace reveals to the world that you are God's children. Amen. Please stand and join us in singing our closing hymn, The Summons, number 2130, in the Black Hymnal.
I need to make just a short announcement before we begin the last hymn. For those of you who are staying for the movie, we're going to have a light lunch prior to the movie. In Fellowship Hall, we have some sub sandwiches and other food items there for you. So when you go in, you can go down either side of the serving table, pick up what you like, and have a meal in there. We'll try to get back here around noon to start the movie, and it's about an hour and a half, so hopefully you'll be able to stay with us. If you can't stay for the movie, you're certainly welcome to join us for a light lunch. If you'd like to help defray the cost of that, there's an offering basket in there somewhere as well. So now we can sing.